Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study on the tribulation. We're going to pick up and look at point number 6 on our study on the tribulation, the action of the tribulation. But before we do, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for being the great God that thou art. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity once again to open up thy very words, your very inspired words that you preserve without error in this good old King James Bible. Father, as your word goes forth today, we pray that it would bring honor and glory to thy holy name. And we pray that the saint of God would be lifted up, encouraged, grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray also, if there be a lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they repent of their sins and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing in their heart and believing by faith that it is his shed blood and nothing else that will save them and give them a home in heaven. And they're trusting in only Jesus' shed blood and nothing else. Father, we pray if there are those listening today that this would be the very day of their salvation. Father, now we ask your blessing on this time together, and it's in your Son Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. As I said at the top of the broadcast, we're going to pick up our study. We've been looking these past several weeks on the tribulation. And of course, we're doing a study on things to come. We're looking at the next prophetic events on God's calendar. And of course, right after the rapture of the church, we're going to have the next event will be the tribulation. So let's pick up and look at the action of the tribulation. Now, we know that the tribulation will begin just after the rapture. In this lesson, we will make a chronicle study starting just after the rapture and ending with the second coming of Christ. First of all, this action of the tribulation, the first thing we want to look at is the peaceful period. The peaceful period. Now, several of these events will transpire simultaneously. First of all, the appearance of the Antichrist. The appearance of the Antichrist. While it's very possible that the Antichrist is alive and working in the world right now, he will not begin his work until after the rapture. I'd have us turn to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter number 11. And we're going to read down together in Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 45. And this is what the Bible says. In Daniel chapter 11, beginning in verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. And of course, what we have here in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, speaking about the king, it's speaking about actually the Antichrist. Verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Amen. And of course, this is exactly what Satan did. The reason he fell, because of pride. He lifted himself up. He magnified himself above all, even God. Verse 38, Daniel chapter 11. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew, not shall be honored with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, and with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass. So we see the king of the south and the king of the north are going to come up against the Antichrist. And he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, in Libyans and Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But the tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. You know, it's good to read that he will come to his end. The Antichrist will eventually come to his end, and none will help him. Amen to that. So, he will, in no doubt, the Antichrist, be one of the most dynamic persons of all time, possessing great genius in many areas. This genius will be in such areas as economics, politics, military tactics, and even religions. Now let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 3, 4, and 9. And see what they have to say. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, we just read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He mentions the son of perdition. Now, I want us to look at something interesting here. If you'll turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And, of course, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. That's where he's praying to his Father in heaven. But notice in John chapter 17 with me, in verse number 12, Jesus says, while I was with them in the world, he's talking about his disciples, his apostles, I kept them in thy name. He kept them in the Father's name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So here we have in John chapter 17, verse 12, Jesus is referring to Judas Iscariot as a son of perdition. So obviously there's some connection between Judas Iscariot and the Antichrist. Amen. But that's a further study for another time. I just wanted to point that out. Again, we're in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, let's look at verse 9. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Again, it's referring to the Antichrist, or that is worshipped. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Verse 9, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs in lying wonders. The Antichrist will make a peace treaty with Israel that is supposed to last 7 years. Of course, this treaty will be broken about halfway through the tribulation. Look with me, if you would, in Daniel chapter 9, verse number 27. That's Daniel 9, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And of course, the he is the Antichrist. And in the midst of the week, now a week is here, it means 7 years, so around a 3.5 year point, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. See, the sacrifices that the Jews performed in the Old Testament under the law will begin again during the tribulation. And what the Antichrist is, he's going to go into the temple. He's going to cause these sacrifices to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So he's going to go in and desecrate the temple. He's going to defile it. Amen. Now, during this time, the great lie will be told to explain the rapture, and it will be believed. The people will want some explanation so bad, they will accept the lie. The lie will produce a temporary calmness. They will experience a short peaceful time during the first part of the tribulation. I call this the calm before the storm. Again, we're looking at the action of the tribulation. Now, let's turn together to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. And we're going to look at a series of events. First, we're going to look at the pouring out of the seals. Revelation, chapter 6. In verse number 2. Let's read together. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. What we see here is the first part of the tribulation as the Antichrist comes on the scene. He conquers with a bow. Notice the arrows are not mentioned. He gives the appearance of good and godly. Notice the white horse. What this means is he will subdue the kingdoms with his words. No bloodshed at this time. This is when the covenant is made with Israel. And great promises are extended to the rest of the world. Now let's look at the second seal that is opened here. The second seal. in chapter Revelation 6, in verses 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, just as the white horse represents a time of peace, the red horse represents a time of bloodshed. This rider carries a sword and has the power to take away peace. War will prevail with people killing one another in a horrible time of bloodshed. Now let's look at the third seal as it's opened. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." The black horse follows the red horse. As the bloodshed of the red horse happens, the food supply is neglected. And now famine, represented by the black horse, follows the red. Notice the phrase, "a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny." You see, a penny was an entire day's wages. Things will be so bad, food will be so expensive, that it will take a full day's wages to buy 1 quart of wheat. The oil and or wine is not harmed. And I believe that the rich will just get richer, as well as fewer in number, while the middle class disappears into the poor. Now let's look at the fourth seal as it's open in Revelation chapter number 6, verses 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. This horse is pale in color, and the rider's name is Death. Following this horse and rider is hell. These have power over a fourth part of the earth to kill. Can you imagine one-fourth of the population dying from war and famine? This will happen. In other words, if the population of the earth is 4 billion after the rapture, 1 billion will be killed during this war and famine, one out of four will die. Now let's look at the fifth seal, as that's opened in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. It was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants, also their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. John sees here the martyrs under the altar. I believe that these are those who refused the mark of the beast. They had endured until the end, having been slain because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are given white robes and are told to rest for a little season. These will have believed the message of the 144,000 which we studied earlier. Amen. Now let's turn our attention to the sixth seal as it is open in Revelation chapter number 6, verses 12 through 17. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So we see here, there will be many physical changes as the sun becomes black and the moon red and the earth shakes. It is during this time that men will run to the mountains and rocks looking for any place to hide. My friend, there'll be no hiding places from the wrath of the Lamb. Now let's turn our attention and look at the seventh seal, the last seal that is open in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. As the seventh seal is open, an unusual thing happens. Silence is in heaven. This is a pause, or a time of preparation for further judgment to to fall. At the end of verse 5, we see thunder and lightning of approaching judgment. In verse 6, seven angels prepare to sound the trumpets. Amen. Let's look at Revelation chapter 8. We read verse 1, but let's read down to verse 6. Verses 2 through 6. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So now we're going to begin to look at the seven trumpet sounds. Amen. So let's move right into there. We have a little bit of time left here. We won't look at all seven right today, but we'll surely finish up next time. The first trumpet sounds in Revelation chapter 8, verse number 7. Revelation 8, 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. I believe this will be literally fulfilled in ice, fire, and blood falling from above. As a result, one third of the trees and all the grass on the face of the earth, one third of the trees and all the grass will be burned. Amen. Let's look at the second trumpet, Revelations 8 through 9. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life, died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now this could be a flaming meteor that falls into the sea, considering the area, it is probably the Mediterranean. As a result, one third of the marine life is destroyed. The blood of all these dead creatures turns one third of the sea to blood. Also, one third of the ships are destroyed. Well, we've run out of time here on the pastor's study, and we'll continue next time and continue our study in the tribulation and finish looking at the seven trumpets that are sounded here in the book of Revelation. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.